to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And this turns up. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical Rx by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live and local evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRMB listener line, on the text line, at Pete Creighton 1 on the X Twitter. Josh the Man on the other side of the glass, at the Master Controls, at IMJ Chevy on the X Twitter. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere you go. Yeah, you know you want to. Nico, I got your text. You kind of answered your own question. The answer is straight up BS. That's the answer. But a man who brings no BS, a man who drops the knowledge and talks almost as fast as I do, joining us, host for CBS Sports Radio, the Fan upstate, that's Clemson country for those of you who don't know, but now you do, and knowing is half the battle. He's my good friend Mark Ryan. What's going on, Mark? How are you, buddy?
Hey, Patrick Creighton, was great to see you a couple weeks ago. I get a random text that Patrick is driving through my area, but a picture of something I see every day, and I got to see my good man. Houston, what is good? I grew up there, lived there from the age of 4 to 13, came back for a few years on the radio, and great to be back. It feels great to be in you again, Houston.
Deep. Get deep in there. Mark, like, you know, if college football was anything like baseball, Michigan is cheating at unforeseen levels, and the whole program should be terminated. It's the biggest scandal of all time. However, college football, thankfully, is not like baseball. The Wolverines are 8-0. They haven't allowed more than 10 points in a game. They also haven't played a top 25 team yet. They are on a collision course with third-ranked Ohio State. Right now, do the Wolverines have a claim for the top spot? Do you think this team can beat Georgia? Are they just a bunch of cheaters? What are the Michigan Wolverines?
Yeah, you know what, Patrick? As they are, with given the season that we've seen to date, I think they're 10 points plus better than everyone else in college football. And the narrative that there is no dominant team in college football is incredibly lazy. Last four games, the Wolverines have outscored their opposition 188-24. Okay, that's an average score of 47-6, and those are four Big Ten games. Now, Patrick, I'm interested and I'm fascinated to hear your take on it from a Houston standpoint on the similarities between this and what the Astros are involved in. I can already predict that one of the similarities you're going to tell me is Michigan wasn't the only one doing it. The Astros weren't the only one doing it, right? That's 100% correct. But it feels like the college football version of that. You know, when I was in Houston, you heard the phrase witch hunts regarding the Astros. This feels very witch hunty as well. They have an axe to grind against Jim Harbaugh. But the thing is, man, when the police car stops you and looks in your vehicle, you better not have anything in there, right? You better be clean. And every time they go poking around at Michigan, they find something, right? So is it a witch hunt? Yes, but they're guilty, right? They're guilty in the witch hunt. They keep finding things. There's the people who are saying Jim Harbaugh didn't know about it. So what? You're the CEO. It's your job to know about it. The people who say, well, they're not getting any advantage of it. Are you kidding me? Why would they do it if they're not getting any advantage of it, out of it? The issue is, Patrick, you know, there is a retort to every rebuttal from a Michigan fan, and right now, if you are a Michigan fan, you're not worried about the NCAA. The NCAA will rule on this case in about 2056, okay? What you are worried about is that Michigan is going to suffer the same fate as, like, Pete Rose, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. that the Big Ten is going to do something now, or that the college football playoff is retroactively, a la the Baseball Hall of Fame voters, going to keep Michigan out of the college football playoff this year. Who knows if that's going to happen, but it would be fascinating.
Here's something that I don't entirely understand, right? You know, in baseball, if I was using electronic media to steal signs, but I wasn't using it in real time, I was using it for tomorrow, baseball actually allows that. Here, Michigan is, quote, stealing signs by filming things that are happening in open daylight of games before or after, you know, games that don't involve them, for things that they hope to use at some point in the future. Don't teams change their signals?
I'm sorry, Patrick, you broke up there for a minute, man. What was your question?
I said, don't teams change their signals? I mean, they're getting, you know, info from games weeks and months in advance.
No, they don't change their signals. And another retort, Patrick, is that it's a dumb rule. And it is a dumb rule. Like, Patrick, I was last week years old when I learned that was a rule enacted in 1994. You know, if someone is entering a stadium with a bunch of heavy-duty camera equipment, you raise your eyebrow and you don't let that guy pass. But if somebody is just coming to the stadium, quote, as a fan, filming things on their phone, I don't particularly understand how that is illegal. But if it is illegal, and you know darn well that it is, you can't do it. You can't take part in it. And Michigan was sending people all over the country, not just to film their own opponents, but to opponents they could potentially hypothetically play, including the Clemson, South Carolina, the team, the Clemson Tigers that I covered. It was a very, very, very detailed scheme, Patrick, and it's not a good look for the Michigan Wolverines, especially because there's this holier-than-thou vibe with Michigan that not only do they win, but they win with character, right? And I don't know, man, this kind of flies in the face of that, I'm sure. There is a host of other teams doing this, right? But we have yet to get evidence from any of them. So right now it's just Michigan looking bad and the college football universe trying to figure out what the future is going to hold for Michigan the rest of this year, and are they going to be as dominant? You know, the greatest thing that happened for Astros fans, Patrick, was the Astros winning the World Series again, right? I mean, that was the big middle finger to the rest of the baseball establishment. You know we're not cheating now. But the evidence against Michigan, I mean, just check this for a minute. Last season, Michigan destroyed Ohio State at the end of the year. Ohio State goes to the playoffs, almost beats Georgia, who doesn't know its signs, okay? Simultaneously, Michigan loses to TCU. Then Georgia makes TCU look like the Island of Misfit Toys in the national championship game. So the evidence that's there tells you that they know something, that they knew something that was benefiting them greatly. But Patrick, I'm interested in hearing your take on this, man. I mean, should Michigan be eligible for the college football playoff this year, or are you cracking down hard?
I don't know. It sounds like good advanced scouting to me. I mean, you're putting these sounds. Like, it's not like these are hidden things that are, you know, trying to be masked. They got the big signs from the sideline. They hold them up. I mean, it's not like anybody couldn't film this during any game.
Well, and you know what? It's like the NCAA is a victim right now of its own rules. You know, you can't have inter-helmet technology like you do in the NFL, right? That's a rule in college football, and it's dumb. If you could relay the signals to your Mike linebacker, if you could relay the signals to your QB, you don't need all these stupid signs, you know, with the cartoon graphics and everything. But given the fact that that is not permitted in college football, but it is permitted in high school football, I mean, make it make sense, Patrick. You know, I mean, this is an entity, the NCAA, that it was okay to serve a recruit a bagel. It was not okay to serve him a bagel with cream cheese. Like, just make it make sense. So because these are the rules, you have entities like Michigan trying to take advantage of these rules. And the very, very simple solution is you allow the mic inside the helmet, you're all good.
I am all in favor of burning the NCAA to the ground, along with the IOC and FIFA. like the three most corrupt organizations in sports. Let's burn them all to the ground and start over. He's Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio, the Fan upstate South Carolina. He is in Clemson country. You know, we talked about the second-ranked Wolverines. How about the third-ranked Buckeyes? They just took down Penn State, who was ranked 7. They took down Notre Dame, who at the time was ranked 9. C.J. Stroud is here in Houston setting the world on fire. Kyle McCord is the quarterback. Is he good enough for the Buckeyes to have natty hopes?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, Patrick, I ranked the 8 unbeaten teams remaining in college football yesterday on my local show, Offsides. And Ohio State is the 6th best unbeaten team. According to me, I think only Air Force and Liberty were the unranked teams beneath them. And that might be a surprise to you, right? I mean, they're ranked better than 6th in the country, and I have them 6th among unbeaten teams. But, you know, they get bullied in Big Boy every time they play a physical team. They're trying to change their MO overnight. They're making gains. They're making progress, but I don't think they're there yet. The style of game, I mean, remember, they needed a 4th-and-19 conversion to beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame to line up with 10 players twice to beat Notre Dame at the end of that game. That is not a game that should be in the win column for them. Penn State, in my opinion, has the most overrated coach in college football. James Franklin has a winning percentage at Penn State, 694. That's identical to the one that got Dan Mullen fired at Florida, also 694. So does Penn State just not have the expectation that Florida does? You know, look, Penn State is a legitimate top 10 team, Patrick, but to me, there are only 4 national championship contenders, only 4 teams that could legitimately win it this year: Georgia, Michigan, if they're permitted to play, Oregon, and Washington.
Well, let's talk about Georgia here for a second, because they're the number 1 team in the country, according to the polls. But a lot of people seem to think that they're not as good as they were a year ago. Are the Bulldogs as good as they were a year ago? Is the SEC as a whole not as good as it was a year ago?
Yeah, the SEC's having a down year, Patrick. Now, it might still be the best conference in college football, still will be the conference that has the most players drafted. But this year is kind of an in-between year in terms of the quarterback position. And so the short answer to your question is we don't know, man. We don't know. But Georgia is good enough to just flip a switch whenever they want to flip the switch. As you know, they've got my alma mater, the University of Florida, this weekend, and I'm wincing and cringing about this, Patrick, because off of bye week, I think Florida's going to get Georgia's best shot. It's a big game in Georgia. You know, it just feels like one of those, you're going to blink and it's going to be 21-0 Georgia. It just has that feel to it. But for me, man, you know, you don't know, because they've so successfully flipped the switch whenever they've needed to. They were trailing South Carolina, a 2-5 team, 14-3 at halftime. They outscored them 21-0 in the second half, won 24-14. So the question is, are they just not as good, or are they just bored, or what's really the issue here? And unfortunately, I don't know that we're going to get that answer until the college football playoff itself. Alabama is the odds-on favorite to meet them in the SEC championship game, but this is not the same Alabama. This is a very beatable, anemic offensively Alabama Crimson Tide team.
If Texas A&M loses to South Carolina, is Jimbo out the door?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I don't know how long. Whenever bosses make a hire, Patrick, they want to be right. So they keep coming out with different numbers and different stats and so on and so forth to try to prove that they're right. And we see this in literally every single industry. But now, as the years pile up for Jimbo Fisher, and the record isn't better, it's actually worse than what Kevin Sumlin did there, the excuses are running dry. And Jimbo is becoming one of those coaches that gets unbelievable recruits that they pay for, okay, but doesn't turn them into wins. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I had ESPN 97.5's own Josh Beard on the show a few months ago, and he said he damn well should be on the hot seat, and I firmly believe that he is. I think he may have to, Patrick, win out the rest of this year just to come back for 2024.
Dude, I want to sit at home and do nothing for 6 years and get paid like Jimbo's going to get paid. I mean, dang, that's living. That is living. All right, Mark, one more for you before we let you go. Appreciate you taking a little bit extra time with us. You know, we've talked about Deion Sanders in Colorado a few times this year. We're a little more than 60% of the way through the season. They're 4-3. They've got one win in conference. But this was a one-win team a year ago that wasn't even on life support. They were just dead. Where do you stand with Deion's job so far this year? How do you rank what he's done? Can he be better next year? And is it possible, considering how Deion, you know, forced this turnaround, basically through the transfer portal, and brought in like 80 new guys and, you know, used his personality and his fame and his name brand to bring guys in. Can anybody copycat what Deion has done?
So, man, I don't think so. I think he is a one of one. I don't think that's replicatable. He is just the most engaging personality. He's the Case College football's best salesman, Patrick, right? And I'd give him scale of 1 to 10 for the job he's done and 8.5 or 9. That number would have been a 10 if they hadn't completely choked away a 29-0 lead against Stanford. At that point in the game, they had a 99.8% chance of winning. Ironically, that loss might be the one that keeps them out of a bowl game this year. But, man, he is so infectious. And imagine, you know, hey, I'm Coach Prime. I'm coming to recruit you. You want to be the next great defensive back in the National Football League? Who better than me? What's rubbing some folks in Colorado the wrong way, and I've got quite a few friends out there, is it's all about Deion, and it's not about the school. And he makes no bones about that. He says, you're not coming to play for the school, you're coming to play for me. And that's not sitting very well with a lot of the locals there, right? Because, I don't know, man, those of us who are romanticized and are college football traditionalists still feel like there should be a part of you that chooses the school. 99% of these guys, or I'm sorry, 98.6% are not going to go on to play NFL football. So shouldn't you choose the school and the education that you like? Deion has an entirely different approach, but man, he has made them relevant. A year ago, they blow a 29-0 lead to Stanford. That's a footnote, right? Deion loses that game. It's front page material. You're waking up, oh my gosh, how did they lose this game? He has made them relevant. So whatever the price of doing business is with Coach Prime, he is worth it, man. I think he's outstanding for college football. And would you believe that an otherwise mediocre Colorado Buffaloes team is the highest rated college football team this year in 2023? In other words, no team gets higher television ratings than a mediocre Buffalo side, and that's all because of the one Coach Prime. I'll tell you, Patrick, what was your best ever Halloween costume? I'm thinking about going as Coach Prime this year. I'm going to get the hoodie. I'm going to get the bling. I'm going to get the Deion Blender sunglasses.
Got to get the gold blenders. The gold blenders. Yeah, I was looking at those gold blenders.
My best ever, Patrick, I think, was Ferris Bueller. I was Ferris one year. That was the GOAT.
That's just because, you know, you look young enough to pull that off.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
He's Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio, the Fan Upstate South Carolina, host of Offsides. He's also one of the best in the business of college football. Give him a follow on the X or the Twitter at Mark Ryan on air. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
You're the best. You're the man, Patrick. Be well.
All right, Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio, the Fan Upstate, with us on Late Hits.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by MedUS.
You want a gym with 24/7 access, no contracts, no hidden fees? Me too. That's why I'm here to tell you about RN24 Fitness and Recovery. It's a new kind of gym where everything is online. 100% digital app-based membership. don't have to go in, don't have to fill out any forms, don't have to deal with any annoying people. You fill out online and you go into the gym. You're ready to go. That's it. Easy. No gym tours, no sales calls, no appointments necessary. Every Iron 24 facility is fully equipped with high-quality cardio, machines, free weights, and their signature recovery rooms with infrared saunas. You definitely want to try these, by the way. Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery has 4 locations around Houston. More opening soon. Looking at you, Sugarland. Members get 24/7 access to all locations, not just one, and they don't charge you extra for it. For a limited time, participating Iron 24 locations offer new member ESPN listeners 2 weeks free, zero down when you join up with the Iron 24 app. So what are you waiting for? Go to iron24.com/ESPN. iron24.com/ESPN, and you can get started today. iron24.com/ESPN, Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery. You know, this week when we looked at it at the before the NFL season, this week's game was supposed to be a big deal. This was going to be 1 versus 2. This was going to be Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud mano a mano, essentially for who would be the rookie of the year. That was the thought process before the NFL season started. But here we are going to week 8. And the Houston Texans, they're 3-3. And C.J. Stroud has been a revelation. He's got a 9-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He has turned the Texans from a bottom 4 offense into a top 10 offense. What? What? C.J. Stroud is him. I don't want to say I've been telling you that since last October, but C.J. Stroud is him. Bryce Young, well, the NFL has not been as kind to Bryce Young in the early part of his career. The Panthers are 0-6. Now, Bryce hasn't played in every one of those games, but obviously he hasn't won any. And where C.J. Stroud has been able to help the Texans overcome an absolute cornucopia of injuries to the offensive line, where they were on tackle 6 and guard 4 and center 4, and kept the offense moving despite the fact they couldn't run the ball on Katy High School so far this year. Bryce Young has found it a little tougher going. They haven't run the ball very well. The receivers have struggled. Bryce Young has struggled. Bryce Young has thrown for 700 fewer yards than C.J. Stroud, despite only throwing about 30 fewer passes. Stroud has had 9 touchdowns and only 1 interception. Young has 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And this doesn't feel like number 1 versus number 2. Certainly not if Bryce Young is number 1. This was supposed to be a big-time matchup of the top 2 guys in the draft. And instead, it feels like it's going to be more of a coronation of C.J. Stroud cementing Rookie of the Year and doing so at the expense of the guy taken ahead of him. And this is something every Texans fan should rejoice in. This is something Texans fans should absolutely be gloating over, because a large majority of those Texans fans were very, very upset that Bryce Young wasn't the Texans quarterback. A majority of Texans fans all thought he was the guy that should have been the pick. And by blowing the number 1 overall pick, they blew their shot at Bryce Young, and they Texans'd things up yet again. It turns out wrong. The Texans got it right. And the fans, a lot of them, a lot of people who work at this station, all the people who used to work at this station at some point in time this year and no longer do, all wanted Bryce Young. All thought C.J. Stroud was going to be a bum. Maybe that's why they don't work here anymore. No, that's not the reason, even though it should be. But I would expect the Houston Texans are probably going to sling it around the yard, because they don't run the ball for beans. But Carolina doesn't run the ball for beans either. And this is going to be that shining moment where you have CJ and Bryce right next to each other. And one of those guys looks like he's already a top 10 quarterback in the league. And one of those guys looks like a rookie. Before we hit the break, let's get to the phones. He was on the other night, and he didn't want to gloat, but you know what? He deserved to gloat. It's resident Titan fan. Brother, I am so glad your Rangers are in the World Series, because your Titans would probably be making you drink very heavily right now. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? Actually, surprisingly, I'm not going to talk about the Rangers. I just have one quick question for you. If you were the GM of the Texans, if I were the GM of the Titans, man, I tell you what, I would give you Mike Vrabel and our next three first-round picks to exchange. We got the wrong linebacker, ex-Texan linebacker head coach. So if you want to send D'Amico our way, we'll take it.
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to hold on to D'Amico right now. You know, Vrabel didn't play for the Texans, but he did coach the Texans. And look, the bottom line is, and I know you know this, they got a quarterback problem. Tannehill's hurt again. From what I'm seeing, Will Levis is going to get the majority of the playing time, but maybe not all of the playing time, because they can't figure out whether Levis is better than Malik Willis right now. And Willis came in the game the other day and he played fairly well, but the year before he stunk. So I don't think they have a lot of faith in Malik Willis. And, you know, where they're 2-4 right now, they can't score. I mean, their defense hasn't been bad, but they can't score. So might as well give Will Levis a shot.
No, I agree, but we're definitely in sell mode. We got rid of an all-pro safety for what I think it was a fifth-round pick. And it makes me sick. I think Derrick Henry is – this makes me sicker than anything, but I think Derrick Henry is probably going to end up on the Cowboys, which I literally just threw up in my mouth a little bit saying that. But, hey, the Texans, man, I give them all the props in the world. They're overachieving. C.J. Stroud, I'll be the first one to admit that I was wrong. Me and you had this discussion before the draft last year. I was a Bryce Young fan, thought he would do great things in Carolina. I don't know how easy it is. He's not really surrounded by talent. But then again, CJ's elevated everybody around him. And it goes a lot, man. It goes a long way to say that I think the Texas organization is finally doing something right. Kills me to say as a Titans fan, it does. But if you want to ship D'Amico our way, brother, I would gladly accept him with open arms. And y'all can have Will Levis, Malik Willis, Ryan Tannehill. Hell, y'all can have Billy Joe Hobert, Billy Joe Tolliver, because I'm sure somewhere along the lines they're still alive.
I really appreciate you treating us like we are your Staten Island and you're going to bring all your garbage here.
Hey, it is what it is, brother. It is what it is.
Hey, listen, as long as you're the GM of the Titans and I'm the GM of the Texans, what do you want for Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm sorry, say that again.
You're the GM for the Titans and I'm the GM for the Texans, what do you want for Derrick Henry and D-Hop?
To be honest, I love the guy. I want to see him go to a contender.
Don't worry. Once you trade him here, we'll be contenders.
What was what?
And once you trade him here, we'll be contenders. It hurt him so bad. He couldn't speak. It hurt him so bad. Man, I appreciate the call, brother. We'll talk soon.
I've got the radio turned down, and you're cutting out really bad. I can't hear you too soon.
All right, brother. Well, we'll talk again soon, man. What do you think the cost would be for DeAndre Hopkins? A fourth? A fifth? I mean, he's had like.
I think we can probably steal him for a fifth.
I think he's had one decent game all year because they can't throw the football. Derrick Henry, a fourth? I mean, look, 30-year-old running backs just don't go for that much. But he's also, you know, the Hulk. So he doesn't look like he's slowing down, although the line certainly doesn't look like they are doing anything to help. But I think Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins coming to Houston, I would actually put my money on the Texans to go run down the Jags. They would go run down the Jags. Speaking of being run down, the Houston Rockets opened their season tonight, and it did not look like a new year. Next.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya King Powder.
All you walls, nightmares, I'm about to come true.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by MedUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
And let's talk about a really cool event going down at Home Run Dugout in Katy. It's the first annual Veterans Day Chili Showdown. You know, when I first moved to Houston, I did not realize how big chili was in Houston. Like, you know, coming from New York City, it's like, yeah, okay, there's chili. But down here, it's like an art form. It is totally different. The first annual Veterans Day Chili Showdown, Home Run Dugout in Katy. It's Saturday, November 11th from 1 to 5 p.m. $15, all-you-can-eat chili. And the proceeds go directly to the Katy VFW Post 9182. And if you are a veteran or you are active duty military, come with your ID and you get free entry into the restaurant on Veterans Day. Spice up your day with some great chili and a great cause, the Veterans Day Chili Showdown at Home Run Dugout in Katy. Hit a few homers in any stadium you want while you're there. You'll have a great time. It's a great, great place to spend some time and watch some games. Well, look, I am going to tell you, I have a lot of hope for the Rockets to be a lot better this season. And the biggest thing I can tell you is one game doesn't make a season. Because, boy, tonight's game looked an awful lot like last year and the year before. The Rockets got absolutely mollywopped by the Orlando Magic. They lost by 30 in a game that wasn't really close at all in the second half. In fact, the Rockets scored a total of 43 points in each half, but only 17 in the fourth quarter when it just became Quitsville. Jabari Smith Jr., not a good day. He was 3 of 9 from the field and 0 of 4 from 3, and he fouled out in 26 minutes. Dylan Brooks shot the ball well. He was 4 of 6 from 3. He also had 4 fouls. Alpi had 14 and 8 and 6 assists. Alpi's like the one guy, like, all right, Alpi's good. Fred VanVleet in his first game as a Rocket, 4 of 6 from deep. But 1 of 7 not from deep. 14 points and 5 assists. And it was an awful night for Jalen Green, who was 2 of 10. And he couldn't buy a bucket. He had 4 turnovers. Amen Thompson, he was 3 of 10, including 1 of 7 from deep. And he also had 4 turnovers in 21 minutes. He was a team worst, ready? Minus 34. Now, when you only play 21 minutes, minus 34, you had to work at that. That's impressive. That took skills. Minus 34 in 21 minutes. Hot damn.
I don't think I've ever heard anything like that, a stat line that bad.
Now, listen. Part of this game that I had caught, especially the first half, Ime was clearly experimenting with lineups. Because at one point, they had VanVleet, Amen Thompson, Jayshon Tate, and Jacques Landale on the floor at the same time. And outside of VanVleet, none of those guys could score. So clearly just not enough scoring on the floor when they put all those cats on the floor at the same time. And I think Ime is still experimenting and trying to figure out how he's going to get some things done. And that's why I'm not losing my mind over the fact, like, what the hell? Like, it's the first game. They are putting in a whole new system. There's a handful of new guys on a team. There's a lot of young guys on a team. And it might take a couple of weeks for them to get it all figured out. It does suck to see them get their asses kicked by 30 on opening night, because it's opening night, right? You got all this off-season hope. Nobody's expecting them to win 50 games, but you got hope they're going to be competitive. And the first day, they're not even close to competitive. They got spanked. And they didn't get spanked by the Bucks. They didn't get spanked by the Celtics. They didn't get spanked by the Suns. They didn't get spanked by the Nuggets. They got spanked by the freaking Magic. And I don't mean the Shaq Penny Magic. Like, this is not the kind of team that should be spanking anybody. But for those of you who might be interested, Paolo Banchero had 12 points, 5 boards, and 5 assists. He did not put up, oh my God, numbers. Now, he was 3 of 6 from the field. He, had a pedestrian game. In fact, the leading scorer for the Magic was Cole Anthony, and he came off the bench. Their second leading scorer was Franz Wagner. He had 19. And the Magic scored 116 points, but Cole Anthony had 20, and he led the team. They had a few guys who scored in double figures, but they also, they literally played the entire roster. And outside of Jet Howard and Chuma Okeke, oh, and Joe Ingles, because Joe Ingles had 3 fouls in 18 scoreless minutes. Everybody else on the team scored. And I figured, if the Magic could have, like, literally empty the entire bench, how did Boban not get in the game for the Rockets? I mean, you gotta give us a Boban minute! Just one Boban minute! Not asking for much. One more segment to go tonight. And we'll have a little bit of fun coming up in the next segment. But first, our friends at Iron 24. Man, guys, if you're looking for a new gym, you got to be looking into Iron 24. Right? I can tell you all the places that I've gone to, you got to walk in, and then there's somebody behind the desk. They're trying to upsell you on five different things. And next thing you know the cost is like $100 for this and $70 for that. None of that nonsense. Right? Everything is online, digital, app-based. You can sign up and be in the gym in an hour. Hell, you can sign up and be in the gym in 5 minutes if it's close enough to you. 24/7 access, no contracts, no hidden fees. It's Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery. No gym tours, no annoying salespeople, no appointments. You sign up on the app and you work out. And you don't have to deal with any nonsense. High-quality cardio, machines, free weights. Their signature recovery rooms with infrared saunas at every facility. You don't have that, oh, well, you know, we have this, but we don't have it at this location. You have to go to this other location that's like 37 miles away. Nuh-uh. That's not how it works at Iron 24. And right now, new member ESPN listeners, you can get 2 weeks free and zero down by joining on the Iron 24 app. So I don't know what you're waiting for, but here's how you do it. Go to iron24.com/ESPN. iron24.com/ESPN. You can get started today. Remember, 24/7. You can sign up right now and hit the gym and be there right as this show ends in 14 minutes. iron24.com/ESPN. Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS.
Final segment of the show. We're back tomorrow, and then we're off for a little while, as apparently we're going to carry the World Series here. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm not trying to hurt the station. But after the way the ALCS ended, snakes and four. Now, if the Junk Grabbers go on to win, the rivalry between the Astros and the Junk Grabbers goes to new heights that baseball can only hope and pray that the last two World Series champions not only are in the same division, they're in the same state 4 hours away, and they freaking hate each other. Astros Junk Grabbers becomes the marquee rivalry in baseball if the Junk Grabbers seal the deal. But bleep them, snakes and four. Hell, snakes and three. I have no desire. I want to see. Here's what I want to see. The Junk Grabbers, who just started piling on runs against the Astros, score like 4 runs in 4 games total. I want to see the well go totally dry. I want to see the Diamondbacks singling and stealing bases and small balling them to death. Yes, the fighting Brent Stroms. I want to see the Diamondbacks crush. The Diamondbacks won 84 games this year, and they're in the World Series. In fact, between the Diamondbacks' 84 wins and the Junk Grabbers' 90 wins, this is, I think, the fewest wins in a World Series, period. So for this series, they are not the D-bags. They are the Diamondbacks. You're going to put some respect on that name. And it is their mission from God to take down the Junk Grabbers. It is their mission from the Lord himself. Also, my interest in watching any of those games, not very high. I still have a lot of petty, a lot of anger, a lot of bleep you-ism that I'm not necessarily ready to accept that the Astros season is over. And I don't know that I'm going to watch more than highlights of this World Series, especially if the Diamondbacks are not holding up their end of the bargain. If Diamondbacks are not holding up their end of the bargain, I will watch zero pitches. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to record every game. Thanks, Fubo. I'm going to record every game. And then after I know what happened, I'm going to go back and watch, or I'm going to choose not to go back and watch. But I'm not going to sit there and potentially be mega ticked off in the moment, because I've already done that for the Astros last two games. I already did that. Also, how wild is it? The Astros and the Phillies both had 3-2 leads coming back to their own building, one win away from a World Series rematch. Both teams couldn't buy a win in their own house. I don't think it has ever happened before that two teams who went to the World Series the year before both go to the LCS the following year, have 3-2 leads coming home, and don't go to the World Series. I don't think it's ever happened before. Now, Penny was asking, would I go with Espada as the Astros coach? I think Espada and Walt Weiss should be the top two candidates. Espada's the in-house candidate. Weiss is the Braves bench coach since 2018. Obviously, very strong organization. The organization Dana Brown comes from, they know each other well. There's a good tie there. I think one of those two guys would be the best candidate to be the manager. I do not want Buck Showalter. I do not want Joe Girardi. I do not want Joe Maddon. Listen, I have a ton of respect for Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon's 186 years old. No thanks. I think Espada knows the team, he knows the players, he knows the organization, he knows how things go. He was here when Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch were here. He knows how the partnership works. Walt Weiss obviously knows how the partnership works. They have it in Atlanta. He would have it again here. But if they go outside of that, I'm going to be skeptical. I'm going to be skeptical. I think there is a very good possibility Espada's tenure with the Astros could work against him here, because the GM is new to the organization. As I said earlier, Jim Crane, since he's owned the franchise, has never hired an internal candidate for manager or general manager. And as far as Tito Francona, Tito's retired. Tito wasn't pushed out. Tito's done. Take care of his health. He's been managing for a long time, all-time great manager. But he's ready to go live his own life right now. It's going to do it for us for tonight. Appreciate my man Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio, fan upstate in South Carolina, joining us. Jay Chevy on the other side of the glass. Our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. We're back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Have a great night. It's down! The smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on. Strangers. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Everyone loves our chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.